transfer market is on fire. And we're going to be bringing you the latest updates in this episode. And in the same vein, we're going to do a quick TSC take on FFP. Welcome to Season 2 of The Football Corner, Munch's very own home for all things football. My name is Vikram.
And my name is Shreyas.
If you're new, you can check us out wherever you get your podcasts. Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, and more.
You can also find us on our website, munchomedia.com, or at Munch's Post on all social media.
If you like fun football content, check out our Facebook group, The Football Corner, where fans share fun memes, updates, and news from the world of football. Cheers, let's hop right on that transfer train.
Woohoo, choo-choo!
So talking about confirmed transfers first, we have a couple of United news pieces. Daniel James, Swansea to Man United, £18 million. That guy's a dynamo.
He looks like one. We don't know too much about him, but he's a quick bugger. Ryan Giggs knows a little bit about him because he's a Wales manager and this guy's Welsh. And definitely likes to gun up and down the wings. So maybe they're doing the right stuff by not going for superstars, and this guy might be one for the future.
I really like that approach. And we just heard this right before we sat down to record, but apparently Crystal Palace has agreed to a fee for Wan-Bissaka, again to Man United, this time for £55 million. That's like the highest for a fullback ever.
That's insane amount of money. I mean, no disrespect to Wan-Bissaka. He has definitely killed it the last season with Palace.
That's true.
But that kind of money for a fullback, Jesus Christ, what's happening to the transfer market, man?
Dude, it's always went haywire like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But we actually ended up seeing Wan-Bissaka play last night.
Yep.
In an under-21 match against France.
Yep.
And he goofed up a bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's the typical England curse, right? From what we spoke about last episode. But no, I think he had a shaky game the entire time. And this was like the 95th minute. And this was a mismatch clearance, a bad corner. And he ended up scoring a stupid-ass own goal. And they ended up losing the game 2-1. So that was fun.
I know. I guess we spoke about this when we were talking about João Felix earlier. They're kids, man. So one-off match at the international level. It's high stakes. I guess we can give them the benefit of the doubt. But that with a 55 million price tag on your head has to impact you somehow. And if he does, if he plays as well as he did for Palace last season, tremendous head on this kid's shoulder.
Totally.
I'm excited, man.
Totally looking forward to it.
Next one we have, this one got confirmed like ten years ago. So it was Frankie De Jong, Ajax to Barcelona, £75 million.
Yeah.
He quote unquote pleaded his teammate De Ligt to join him at Barcelona.
Right.
It seemed very likely, especially when the whole UEFA Nations League was happening, that De Ligt would follow him there.
Yeah, yeah.
But doesn't seem as likely now, man. Just if you look at the rumor mills, which always go haywire at this time.
Right.
He might be going to Juve, to PSG, to Man United.
Yeah.
I'm surprised City's not in that in that news piece there.
Yeah.
But excited to see where De Ligt goes as well. It's going to change the game for a lot of teams.
Totally.
Now coming to the big boss daddy team for the transfer season.
Right.
We missed these guys for a couple of years now. So it's good to see them back. Real Madrid.
Yes.
Luka Jovic from Frankfurt.
Yes.
£60 million.
Yep. It's jump change for them.
Jump change. Here's a big one. Eden Hazard.
Woo.
Really? You did a woo there? Aren't you upset?
No, I'm looking forward to, you know, what he does. And I wish the guy continues to achieve some sort of success, man.
Player over club. I like it. £130 million.
Right.
I don't even know what the real figure there is, like bonuses and add-ons.
Absolutely.
And I don't even know what the base figure was, but it's some monstrosity.
Yeah.
Then we have Eder Militao from Porto.
Right.
£50 million.
Central defender.
Dude, like 50s and 40s are like no joke.
Standard,
now,
yeah.
Yeah. And then we have Ferland Mendy, Lyon to Real, again, £48 million.
Right.
They're probably going to spend more.
Yep.
Pogba's in the running.
Yes.
And we'll be talking a little bit about the FFP and our TFC take. We'll talk about Real and their current situation.
Yep.
But in a gist, they can spend more.
They can.
They can spend a lot more.
Yep. Because they're commercially one of the most successful clubs on the planet.
They
won a shit ton of Champions Leagues with Zidane, and now he's back.
And they sold Ronaldo last year.
So, yeah, lots going on.
I feel like Hazard hasn't picked his number yet, right?
Has not picked his number yet.
Where are the jersey sales money going to come from, dude? So, bolo, jaldi number pick kare apna.
Yeah, none of them. In fact, even Luka Jovic hasn't selected a number. Ferland Mendy hasn't selected a number. So,
I feel like, you know what Perez is waiting for is to do one more at least big signing and then a couple of small ones and then do this whole Galactico press conference with their numbers chosen.
Possible.
Next day, all the jerseys up. The day after that, all the jerseys sold out.
Yeah.
All the money recouped.
That sounds like something. And yeah, and they have to get rid of a few players also. I mean, Bale, we don't know if he's going to end up staying or not. Zidane's not
he's part
fan.
Of every player package plus cash right. swap right. we can think of.
Right.
One thing we missed out, Rodrigo, who yep. signed for them last year.
But is joining the squad this year.
45 million euros this time. Yep. He's joining the squad this year too. So that's another new signing.
Right.
A lot of buzz around him. Exciting young player from yep. Brazil. So yep. let's see. Him pairing up with Vinicius Jr. as well because it might be interesting.
Correct.
So let's skip Real now, man. I think that's a segment in itself.
Yep.
Lots of other transfers that have been confirmed.
In Germany?
Mats Hummels.
Damn, going back to Dortmund.
Back to, what was that, 3-4 seasons?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah.
£34 million. You think he still has it?
I still think he does. I think he's always been one of my favorite defenders in that German national team. And yeah, it sucks that he's sticking around in Germany. But yeah, I wonder why he went back to Dortmund. What was wrong at Munich?
I don't know. Just the whole, I want to be next to the Signal Iduna Park. And I feel like these Dortmund guys just have a lot of sort of like a special place in their
right,
heart for the
right.
club.
Yeah, and he's not the first one to go back to Dortmund. We've had Kagawa, we had Mario Götze.
Götze as well, yeah. Right. So he's joining Götze back in Dortmund.
Right.
I don't know if he has it, man.
Yeah?
I'm very on the fence about Mats Hummels. Sometimes I just love him.
Yeah.
And sometimes he just looks chubby.
Chubby.
So I can't...
quite.
Yeah, I can't really comment on that. But let's see. Should be good. 34 yeah. million is good money for Bayern. I think it's good money for Hummels.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think...
It seems cheap now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, if we look at the Real spending just
correct.
Before.
Right.
For Hummels, to a club that he wants to go to.
Yeah.
And Bayern getting 34 million, I think it's a,
not too
it's a
bad.
Good deal overall.
Yeah.
Continuing on Dortmund, Julian Brandt from Leverkusen and Junior Hazard from Mönchengladbach.
Right.
25 million each.
That's not bad at all. These guys are like up and coming young, you know, stars. And yeah, they've been lighting the Bundesliga on fire. And I'm hoping they'll step it up with Dortmund now.
I definitely remember noticing Julian Brandt up and coming the past season or two.
Yeah.
Thorgan Hazard kind of went under my radar.
Okay.
How was he last season?
He was not bad at all, man. He's racked up his goals and assists.
Mm.
Both Brandt and Hazard, in fact, have made it to first teams of their respective national teams. So yeah, he's, I mean, it's unfair for us to like compare him to his older brother Eden, but yeah, he's definitely young and exciting. And in fact, like Chelsea had a buyback clause that I think they chose not to go for. So it kind of sucks that we let this one slip, but he's definitely an exciting dude. And like the Bundesliga seems like a really cool place now for young players to sort of step up. Like we have Jadon Sancho, who's British. We had Christian Pulisic come from at a really young age to Dortmund as well. So, yeah, so it seems like a nice place for these young guys to do their thing. And these guys have been doing it for a while. So, yeah, lots to look forward to.
Just talking about the Hazards and Chelsea situation.
Yeah.
There's still like 4 or 5 left in Chelsea, right?
Right. So, there are 4 total Hazard brothers. There's Eden, Thorgan, Killian and Ethan.
And Killian and Ethan are where?
Killian and Ethan. So, I'm not sure where Ethan is the youngest, but Killian's very much with Chelsea right
and,
now.
And where's Daddy and Mummy Hazard? Are they also signed contractually to Chelsea? What the hell is this? Like a family deal, man.
Yeah, it seemed like a family deal because, I believe that they've had football history, both mom and dad, but right
oh,
now
I
they're
was
just...
kidding. I didn't know they actually played football.
They did.
Oh,
both
wow.
of them. Yeah.
Well, we can see that, clearly.
Yeah, exactly.
I doubt any of them is going to surpass Eden in terms of skill level.
Yeah, and just, yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing about Eden Hazard is he sort of enjoys playing football like a kid would enjoy playing football. And so he sort of kept that, you know, thing going. And yeah, he's you know, hit the heights with Chelsea and now he's hit even higher heights with Madrid, we're hoping.
I'm so humble dude, yeah. We were talking about this just before recording.
Yeah.
Just in the press conference, he's like, I'm not a Galactico, let me prove it.
Exactly.
So, I like Hazard, dude.
Yeah.
I like it. He's clearly been wanting to be at Madrid for like 2 or 3 seasons now.
Right, right.
He paid his dues at Chelsea.
Totally.
Dragged them, literally backpacked them.
Yeah.
Walked them across to wherever they reached.
Right.
So, yeah, man.
Totally. And yeah, compared to Quarta, and like we Chelsea fans call him a snake.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because, I don't know, just the way he went, like he refused to turn up for training. We actually ended
up... He forced his move, sure, but... So many people do that, man.
Yeah, but if you want to know how to not force a move, but if you want to, you know, let your parent club know that you want to move on, you do it like Eden Hazard did. And, you know, the players
and wait three seasons. Come on.
No, don't wait 3 seasons. It's not like
either you become Eden Hazard or you become De Gea. He didn't want to be either. He wanted to go when he wanted to go. Fair, so, but can't blame the guy.
I don't know, but even like with Courtois having this thing where, so he was on loan when Chelsea bought him, he was on loan at Atletico Madrid and right. He had a lot of success there.
Yeah, he killed it.
Yeah, and like, it's that typical, you know, like city rivalry, like Atletico Madrid or Real Madrid. So, I don't know, a lot of things just didn't make sense. Just, and then, yeah, he had a shitty season. So, we Chelsea fans were licking our, you know, fingers at, you know, seeing him falter. And there were rumors that, you know, Keylor Navas might stay and Lucas Zidane would be second keeper.
Second choice.
So,
oh, yeah, I remember.
Yeah,
that.
So where does Courtois go?
That's
so,
true. But
it seems like it's the other way around.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And even talking about his time at Atletico, he clearly loved Atletico more than Chelsea.
Yes.
Like, he wanted to stay.
Stay, yes.
Okay, I see the hate now. But you guys got Kepa. He's good enough.
He's good. He has potential. And yeah, that's the thing. Enough about potential, man. Like, let's just get the ball rolling.
Europa League jeete ho, yaar. Come on, man. You have a transfer ban. Relax. Just take what you have.
Ab sari bhi to chala gaya. Aur kya kare?
Sari bhi chala gaya. Let's talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
Just to round up the Bundesliga.
Yeah.
We spoke about transfers out of Munich. Transfers to Munich. Benjamin Pavard, Stuttgart to Munich. Yep. I love this kid.
Yep.
He's pretty good. 35 million is good money for him.
Yeah. Goal of the season at the World Cup last year.
Yeah.
And yeah. So, I mean,
it's like a machine, dude, just running up and down. Those are the kind of players I love.
Yeah.
Except if you're Phil Jones, because then you can't stop yourself. So the machine just keeps going. So the only way you're stopping is like running into someone or falling to the ground. So I'm just glad that he doesn't have that skill set.
Right.
I like this guy. And the other big buy for Atletico, for Munich is Lucas Hernandez.
Yep.
80 million.
Way too much. Way too much.
Way too much in general.
In general.
Obviously, 80 million Bundesliga, these guys are like super
right.
stringent with, prudent with money spending. So, most expensive Bundesliga signing.
Yep, to date.
But 80 million in general for Lucas Hernandez, I don't know. I like him. I love him.
Yeah, we all love him. I mean, both. It's just like Munich's basically wrapping up left back and right backs from the France World Cup winning team. But that's still a lot of money for the guy, and it's almost like a desperate signing. And yeah, they had a lot of aging old stars that they have to get rid of. You know, Robbery are being let go of, but this is a lot of money for a left back.
And he's 23.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay, let's see how that one pans out. Munich usually is a very pragmatic
yep.
sort of a footballing system there in terms of the hierarchy, management, and stuff like that. So they're is some logic to this decision. I want to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
And I'm actually very excited to see what pans out with their team.
Yeah.
You know, if Asane does end up joining them, that entire left
can just be crazy.
Yeah, it'll be pretty cool.
Yeah.
The only transfer news from Man City till date.
Yeah.
Very surprising. Very, very surprising is Vincent Kompany.
Yeah.
Back to Anderlecht, free
yeah.
transfer as a player manager.
Yeah.
That's it. Nothing on City yet. All we have are contract extensions, which we're going to talk about a little later. So
yeah.
Let's move on
yeah.
to Juve.
They always make the best signings, man. This
let's go. Aaron Ramsey was in the books, I think, in Jan.
Yeah.
So done and dusted. I still think that guy has a lot of injury niggles that he has to get over.
But in his like on his day, he just comes up with the goods, man.
I agree with you. Yeah, he's great. But
yeah, one of the most important players in that Arsenal midfield.
But then if you get injured so much, it's discounted, right? Your presence and your efforts and all. So
fair, but
let's see. Italy is also slightly more physical, slightly
okay.
more. It's harder to play. You get banged up a lot.
Okay.
It's not as quick.
Okay.
So that really doesn't play into Ramsey's favor there as
mm-hmm.
well.
Interesting.
The only other fallback I have is like our midfield core is decent enough to throw in a replacement whenever needed.
Yeah, you guys are spoiled for choice now.
Speaking of that, at the time of recording again, Rabiot to Juve seems like a pretty much done deal.
Yeah.
Again, free transfer because obviously
he
just didn't want to sign a contract extension. So something around the lines of 7 million per season plus bonuses.
Yeah.
I'm nervous on this one, man.
Why?
I love the guy. His skill on the field is there for everyone to see, right? You know what he's good at. He's pretty good. He's pretty flary. Link up. His tackling's pretty good.
Yep.
Right? He's pretty good at that too. But just the off field, man. Like PSG, they aren't idiots, right? There has to be a reason for them to behave like this with the player so publicly.
Yeah.
And also not just PSG. The other sort of piece of information we have is the French
national team. Yeah.
Yeah, the national team. So last World Cup, he ended up getting put in the reserve squad.
Yeah.
And Zonzi got chosen above him.
Yep.
Guy writes a letter to the French Football Association saying, I'm not coming for the World Cup.
Ballsy.
Bro, reserve squad mein chale jaa yaar, itna kya ro raha hai? Where's the whole national pride and all of that? And Deschamps like, dude, I can't do anything. No, I have so many players.
Yeah.
Obviously, whenever you have like, whenever you spoil for choice with selection, especially for a World Cup, people are going to get pissed off. Remember Sané?
Yes.
Same situation, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Okay, in hindsight, maybe Sané there would have helped Germany because they had a bad World Cup.
Right.
But if France would have been in Germany's position, everyone would have said that about Rabiot as well.
Possible.
So you can't really blame anyone.
Yeah.
And very evidently, the French squad was very complete, very well-rounded, had a lot of depth. And the guy just refused to go to the World Cup, writes a letter to... I don't know, man. This is just all of this off-field stuff that I'm not feeling too good about.
Fair.
So let's see. Again, I love the player as in terms of skills and stuff.
Right.
The third piece of Juve info is that Maurizio Sarri is getting unveiled as we speak. I'm recording with you, bro. Yaad rakhna ye. I'm not watching that unveiling. Maurizio Sarri to Juve is finally done and dusted, which leaves a big void in the Chelsea management thing, which we'll talk about shortly.
Yeah.
The only other confirmed piece that I want to touch upon is Marek Hamšík.
Yeah.
Where is he going?
He's going to the Chinese league.
Ka-ching Chinese.
Ka-ching Chinese. Yeah. Nice ring to it. Yeah, it sucks, man. He's been there for the longest time. He was a beast. He was captain at Napoli for the longest time. And it was cool to see him at the Euros, also captain of Slovakia. And it sucks that we lost him.
That guy too, man. He paid his dues.
I don't know, but...
Everyone was leaving, starting from Cavani, remember?
Yeah,
and everyone
yeah.
kept leaving and he stuck around, dude.
But at the same time, I don't know, like, why do you go to the Chinese league? Like, he still has it in him and he could have gone somewhere else. I don't know, maybe to another European league. Maybe go to the US, man. But why China?
US could have been an option, yeah. But he's also like 31, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
So, guy just wants to get paid.
Fair, but...
He's not getting titles, he might as well get paid.
Fair, but, I mean, yeah.
Imagine how demoralizing it is to be a leader within the Napoli squad.
And then...
Just lose to Juve year out. Just lose. Last five? Last seven?
Last seven, yeah.
Last eight, actually.
Holy
five
shit.
With Allegri and three with Conte.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just imagine just losing. What else are you going to do?
Yeah, but I don't know, like the football that Napoli's played has always been cool. And yeah, and I mean, now that you say it, it kind of makes sense. Like
he sacrificed his prime for Napoli.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fine. I understand this, dude. Like if Oscar can go when he's 25, this guy can go when he's 31. It's cool. Let's just quickly run through some rumors because I really don't want to dive deep into them because they change every day.
Yeah.
João Félix... Atletico seems to be the team that's going to trigger his buyout clause.
Yeah.
It was all about United and City in the run up to this.
Right.
So that either means they've lost interest or Atletico's
he's just too expensive, man. And maybe Atletico's got the money to pay for it. But
well, they do. They have money from the Hernandez sale.
Yeah.
And seemingly Griezmann's also on the way out.
Yep.
He's going to get a hefty payout as well.
Right.
So they seem to be the one... triggering that buyout clause. Maybe by the time we do another transfer special episode, that deal will be complete. Let's dive deep then. The other thing that we have is that James Rodriguez looked pretty close to signing for Napoli.
Yeah.
Carlo Ancelotti is probably the only manager who likes him at this point, I guess. Real, then Bayern, and now Napoli.
Yeah.
But that might get derailed. PSG is offering, Madrid is offering PSG a player plus cash swap for Neymar.
You think he'll go there? I mean,
I don't know, man. There's one report about him looking for a house in Barcelona. There's another report about how he has a WhatsApp group with Suarez and Messi. And then now we read this and he's like, he might go to... I don't know. But the players in question in the swap are Gareth Bale and James Rodriguez. So that should be fun. Paul Pogba, uncertain as always. He wants a new challenge. He's in line to earn 3.7 million as bonus if he stays with United.
What new challenge? I mean, it's challenging enough to be in this.
He's surmounted so many challenges. You can't say that about him. He's Paul Pogba. He's like, he's self-inflicted or self-treated as royalty.
Right.
But hasn't earned it yet.
Right.
Even like he won that World Cup, but it's not like he won the World Cup.
Yeah.
Everyone else won the World Cup and he was there.
Yeah.
Ek final mein goal maar diya, ucha kood raha hai. And then why I'm also commenting on Pogba is because Juve is one of the contenders to re-sign him.
Yeah.
I mean, like, as soon as Ronaldo came, no, Juve just changed.
No, I mean, even like even minus Ronaldo, you guys have made killer signings, man. Matuidi, Emre Can.
Yeah. Like, the these are the strategic ones that help you out through. But the flashy, big player.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, as soon as Ronaldo came, we were like, oh, Pogba 100, aja. Like, oh, this really quickly again, Christian Eriksen, he says he wants to leave.
Yeah.
But he
now
that,
he needs a new challenge.
He does. He deserves a new challenge. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's slogged his ass off for that number two, number three position for like 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah.
Now. But there's Big Daddy sitting on top of him.
Yeah, Daniel T. Levy.
I don't know what that guy will do if he'll allow him to leave as well.
Yeah.
I feel like Levy's maybe trying to sort out the Pochettino conundrum right now.
Right.
Seems like
makes
there's
sense.
No rumbling there.
Yeah.
So that might not happen. I won't be surprised if Eriksen's in Tottenham next season as well.
Yeah, or Pochettino, or both of them.
More likely, just given Daniel Levy's track record.
Right.
Romelu Lukaku.
Ooh.
Most likely heading to Inter.
Uh-huh.
Link up with Conte.
Again.
Yeah, he said he won't force a move through.
Okay. Sweet.
So sweet. touch over. Yeah. And then Roberto Martinez is urging him to leave.
Like, what's his deal, bro? Like, you manage your Belgian national team and like just...
Yes, man. He wants his star striker to get regular first team football in Italy. So he's urging him to leave. So I don't know. It seems like it's looking like Inter. I guess... see, Rashford's clearly first choice.
Yeah, but Rashford wants a £300,000 increase.
I read that. He's holding them to ransom. Rashford, yeah. He deserves it, man.
He does.
You can't be double-digit thousands if you're Rashford. That's not cool.
Yeah.
But I feel like Solskjaer, if he makes one more signing... hypothetically, even if he gets like a Madison or someone in, he'd be more than happy to let Lukaku go.
For sure.
Because he can rotate Rashford with maybe a Martial if needed.
Right.
He'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So, and he's looking for that young blood.
Yeah.
So Lukaku, I have a feeling he might go. Max Allegri, he's left Juve.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Love you. 5 seasons.
Yeah.
Can't get us Champions League, but it's fine. I'm not saying anything.
Even with Ronaldo.
Two finals are good. I'll take 2 finals in 5 years.
Fair.
That's pretty good.
Fair.
He says he's taking a break and there's no news of any club approaching him yet. So maybe that'll stay the same.
Yeah.
Guy deserves a break, honestly. Like,
fair.
5 grueling years.
Yeah.
Leroy Sané.
Yeah.
We heard rumblings about him going to Bayern,
right.
But then we didn't. And
right.
Now we're hearing them again. And Bayern president says he loves him. So I don't know what's happening there. Maybe City's reluctance to let him leave.
Yeah, they shouldn't. I mean, they haven't spent a penny yet, so.
Yeah, they haven't. But do they need to?
Yeah, that too. Yeah, I don't think so. They need to.
So if they don't buy anyone, I can totally see them clamping down on Sané not leaving.
Yeah.
But if they do sign anyone even remotely close in that position,
then
maybe I'm just very curious to see Sané link up with Bayern's new fullbacks, man. That'll be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
What's new with Alexis Sanchez?
Oh, nothing's new, man. He's just counting cash at home. I'm sure he's got his own personal ATM at home. Just checking in, logging in.
Oh,
every
he's playing
time.
Copa right now. Don't be mean.
Oh.
He's playing Copa. He scored a goal, dude.
Oh.
His first goal since Jan.
Okay, so here's a fun fact. This year, 2019, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has more goals at Old Trafford than Alexis Sanchez.
In the Legends game?
Yeah.
Dude, I hate it when fun facts like these come. It's so demeaning to a player. 400 odd thousand pounds a week. I can't score a goal.
Yeah.
Again, 50-year-old manager comes and scores. Interesting. Last of our rumor mill.
Yeah.
Frank Lampard.
Ooh, super Frank.
To Chelsea. You know, that has an IQ of 150.
Yeah, man, he is smart.
AF.
Yeah. I mean, there was this interview of him where there was some random radio dude and they actually had his sister on board, and this was around the time where he was having his divorce.
Right.
And they were asking his sister about his personal life. And she was like, you know, what the hell, like, if you got me on the show, like, ask questions about me. Don't ask me questions about my brother. And the next thing you know, Frank Lampard dials in into that radio interview. And he's like, don't you dare talk about my personal life on, like, this public forum. Like, you want to talk to something, like, talk to me about it. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, he's like, if you want to talk about me in my public forum, like, talk about my football. Because you get to see that.
Frank,
otherwise,
being Frank.
Yeah, man. So, like, do not mess with this guy. He knows his shit.
He does, man. He did pretty decent with his Derby team last year.
Right, right. So yeah, I mean, coming down to his managerial career and just the kind of guy he is and, you know, his aspirations and his personal style and everything. I mean, he's worked with a bunch of crazy ass managers.
Right.
I'm sure he's picked up a lot of stuff from everything. And yeah, he's a very likable guy. He was one of the most favored characters in the Chelsea dressing room. Total captain material, but never got to be captain. He was always vice captain.
Right.
So I think he has the right credentials to do his thing. And, you know, it ticks all the right boxes to come to Chelsea. But at the same time, I think just the way Chelsea operates with respect to like the hiring and firing of managers, the transfer ban looming, just how managers come in, and it's just these expectations, Roman Abramovich's administration. I think there's so much all over the place that, you know, I'd hate to see him waste his opportunity at Chelsea. So from my perspective, I think this is not the best time. But if he comes, obviously, I'm going to welcome him with open hands.
But then think about this. If they already have a transfer ban for this summer.
Correct.
So they're not signing anyone.
No.
Pulisic is in.
Yes.
That counts for something. And Hazard is out.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah.
So don't you think this is the best time for him to come in? Because he'll be working with a sort of broken up team.
Yeah.
And then working with a lot of youngsters.
Yeah.
They'll obviously have to pull in a few loanies.
Right.
So I feel like this is the ideal time, as opposed to a time when the ban's lifted, they spent
right.
all of that, and then he gets put in, because then you know most likely the whole
right.
axing thing is going to come into
right.
play.
Right.
Here, Abramovich might just be like, okay, let's give him a season.
And that's fair. I think, just considering the kind of squad we have a lot of aging players. The youngsters that did well last season, they're injured. The loanies that can come back on paper, yes, it seems like, you know, they fit in, but I don't think so. They're just going to readily be part of the first team.
Right.
Pulisic, a lot on his shoulders, and everyone thinks he's a Hazard replacement. He's not. So I just think there's way too much for him to handle. And yeah, it's easy for us to say that with all these lowered expectations, maybe we'll give him time, but somehow that just is not the case with Chelsea. And maybe another fourth place, third place will seem good enough. Maybe get to the knockout stages. We're in the Champions League now. So yeah, there's a lot to happen, and I'm hoping the winter transfer window might open up. So yeah, I think it's just way too much of a mishmash right now. And from a fan's perspective, it just doesn't seem like a good time for him to come. But yeah, if he's our savior, then so be it.
Interesting. Really quickly, before we jump to the TFC take, contract extensions.
Yep.
Juan Mata.
Not bad.
Kyle Walker.
Definitely good.
Bernardo Silva.
One for the future.
Zinchenko.
Bichara unknown.
And Laporte.
Yep.
So City is really clamping down on players.
Right.
Silva did not sign an extension, David Silva.
Ooh.
His contract runs out at the end of next season, so he might leave on a free.
Right.
He's always said he wants to go play in Spain.
Yeah.
So I feel like, again, paid his dues, done right, as
definitely,
much as he could.
Definitely.
Other than that, non-player, but yep. Fan favorite, John Terry.
You.
Contract extension as?
Aston Villa, assistant manager.
As assistant manager.
Yep.
Interesting, man. So that wraps up our transfer and contract extension and news and updates
yep.
from the world of football. Let's jump to TSC Stake. Shreyas.
Yo.
Please define FFP.
Oh, man. I mean, even UEFA doesn't understand what FFP is. So.
Like, the most layman term definition you can think of.
Fair. So, basically, FFP apparently makes sure that clubs don't spend out of their freaking nuts and eventually go into, like, crazy-ass debt. But that just almost doesn't make sense, because, like, FFP more sounds like rules against oil money. Because the only teams that have been sanctioned or have come under the purview of FFP are Man City and PSG.
Because they're openly flouting it, or yeah. seemingly so.
Yeah.
Like, to me, when I see a PSG sign a Neymar and an Mbappe the same season.
Yeah, that's...
eventually, it's like, what? There's yeah. like 400, 500 million there.
Yes,
and
for
then
two
you,
players.
And then you actually read into it.
Yeah.
And so they're essentially saying that you can't spend more than you earn.
Yeah.
Maybe like a 30% plus minus.
Correct.
Where you get warnings and stuff like that.
Correct.
But one interesting thing is that I don't know if this is a club's gentleman agreement between clubs or
yeah.
is it like an auditing or like an accounting hack or something.
Right.
But if I buy a player for 100 million and he has a contract for 5 seasons,
yeah.
then that 100 million is paid
split
in installments. Yeah, so if it's paid in installments, it's
right.
not on my books.
Right.
So that's one way of circumnavigating it.
I don't know. Like, for example, like we were talking about Real Madrid. So they sold Ronaldo for 100 million last year.
But that's going to be on their books
this year.
But not the entire 100. It'll be the installment
split. So, yeah, I mean, there's just so much around it, which is why I think UEFA also still hasn't understood it exactly in terms of what
they made it. How can they not understand it?
Yeah, because the thing is, the clubs just end up taking advantage of it, you know, to the point that, like, we
didn't realize how smart clubs were.
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, if these clubs are so rich, paying crazy ass transfer fees for players, do you not think they have freaking armies of lawyers and God knows what, and, you know, to find loopholes and stuff? So
yeah, talk about Real now. So this season already, this window already, they spent upwards of 300 million.
Yeah, and they're not stopping.
Because they don't need to.
Yep.
So according to how all that pans out, and looking at their earnings from last year in terms of commercial revenues, ticket sales, match fee, match earnings and stuff like that, they still have enough, more than enough money for one big ass signing. So it could still be a Pogba plus a small piece here and there, and it'd still be under the FFP.
Well within the FFP purview,
That's crazy.
Yeah, so it's just, it's basically, you know, you can't spend more than you've earned. Like you said, you know, plus minus here and there. And this is to ensure that, you know, their long-term survival is, you know, sort of taken care of. And so for example, like when we talk about Tottenham, so Tottenham didn't spend a single penny last year, but they have a new stadium. Now that doesn't come under the purview of FFP because that's a one-time long-term spend. This is mostly
As it shouldn't. This is about player movement. Right?
Correct. Mostly. Yeah. So this is mostly about player transfers and the salaries that you're spending on them.
Right.
So yeah. And then in terms of, you know, whether you're spending more or less and, you know, how sort of FFP comes in terms of, you know, regulations and stuff, it could be a warning. It could be fine. Then when things get serious, you have points deduction, and then possibly you will not be included in UEFA competitions, which is where we thought City, you know, are sort of playing a gambling game here and there. Exactly. Yeah. And yeah, in the past, we've had PSG and City both been fined up to 60 million euros, out of which they appealed it. They got 40 million suspended. They only had to pay 20 million.
Sheikh's got to sneeze and 20 million is going to come out of his nose, man.
Exactly. So these Qataris and these Dubai dudes, like, this is nothing
for them. I feel like everyone from the Emirates, this entire extended family, one day will have a club each.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And not just a club, like, they've got their own family thing going on anyway. Like, City's sponsors are Etihad.
Right.
Etihad is owned by a cousin of the Sheikh.
That's the whole controversy. That's what they're getting investigated upon.
Exactly.
Etihad is just, whenever they need to up their limits so that their earnings become more,
they just get more sponsorship money.
And from Etihad, so from his own pocket, indirectly, I guess, but very, very close directly.
Exactly.
And then they up their limit for FFP and they spend more on players.
Right. So
interesting, man.
So yeah, so FFP is just a messy, messy, messy ball game right now. And I think it's going to take so much more, you know, for this to sort of just realize, like, I think the positives of this. And we're looking more at, you know, these rich clubs, and the idea was to ensure their long-term survival. I think if they've got these owners and stuff, they're going to survive anyway. Does this mean that we're trying to make it fair for the guys in the middle and the guys down below? Do we make it more competitive, or is it purely a finance thing?
But that's really not working, right? Because as soon as you peg your spending limit to your earning limit, automatically, if I'm a Real, if I'm a Man U, and I make a lot of money each year in terms of revenue, I get to spend more.
Exactly.
Fine. That's a very Formula One-esque model in terms of how much you spend, in terms of how much you earn.
Right.
So for example, the middling guys like the Wolves and the Evertons and all, if they don't earn that much, they don't get to spend that much.
Exactly.
So I guess that works. That's always been the way. Bigger clubs buy big players.
Yeah.
But they just don't go overboard. So it's just a way to limit their spending.
Right.
So even though FFP sort of gained momentum in terms of actually being a force within the transfer market, the transfer fees have never been high. It's still not doing what it's supposed to, I guess.
Exactly.
Maybe because of these accounting hacks and the installation payments and stuff like that.
Right.
So we're still seeing these 100-odd millions just go here and there. Every year, the transfer record's getting broken.
Right.
So I honestly don't know what the pros and cons are, what the trade-off is of having FFP and still, and if your fines are limited, if you're fining a PSG 20 million.
Pocket money.
So they're like, oh, spend 400 million on the two best players in the league, pay us 20 million fine.
And we'll be okay with it.
That's unbelievable.
Exactly. And we might have a shake in a lower team in the Premier League with Newcastle. So
it's not a lower team. As soon as he breathes his breath on that team, it's not a lower team anymore.
Exactly.
That was the rumbling about Jose Mourinho becoming its next manager. Because obviously Benitez ko nahi dene wale.
Right.
But again, so this Man City thing, I think, is the biggest sort of conundrum that FFP and UEFA face.
Yeah.
It's the biggest scandal, quote unquote, that we've seen, right? And it's still ongoing.
Yeah.
So we still don't know what the results of that are going to be. But the fact that it's dragged this long maybe means that there's some merit to it, that there will be some heavy sanctions or penalties there. Otherwise, they would have been handed out already. So that wraps up this take of TFC on FFP and the episode as well. Hope you guys liked it. You can catch us on YouTube at Muncha Sports, on all social media, again, at Muncha Sports, or wherever you guys get your podcasts. Next week, we're going to be doing an episode where we're going to do a quick look back on the EPL season.
Yeah, basically City dominance.
City dominance and Liverpool's extremely, extremely close chase.
Right, yeah.
And another TFC take. Yet undecided, but we'll figure it out by then.
Yep.
Catch you guys next week.
Toodles.